You are listening to a weekly message from Northeast Community Church. For more information about NECC, visit us online at necommunity.church. We're so glad you joined us. Today's message is part two of a series entitled Living by the Book.
Well, it's like we always say, like, my relationship with God, it's not private, but it is certainly personal. You know, like, you can only, every person perceives it differently, I suppose. You know, it's up to the relationship they have with God.
I don't see him as being human, so you can't have a human relationship with him. You can have an understanding or a concept, but I don't think you can have a real one-on-one relationship.
Naniniwala ako na tayo ay mayroong personal na relationship sa Diyos. Dahil sa scripture at sa pagmamahal natin sa anak niyang si Jesus.
I think wacky is too strong of a word, but I think that there are people who believe that what shirt I put on this morning, that God cared what shirt I put on. That's nonsense.
Some people may say, you know, you're crazy for saying you heard a voice, but I felt like I heard a voice from heaven speak to my situation and tell me that everything was going to be okay. And the proof is in the pudding. I've lived a blessed life since then, since turning my life to God.
I do think God is so big and so vast that we'll never get to know him exhaustively. I think he's so complicated that we'll never know all of who he is.
I don't really believe in a higher source of love, you know, coming from God or anything like that. I think it's just something everybody has the capability to love within themselves.
I've found peace in my relationship with God, because he's the only stable relationship that you'll have, because humans can come and go.
It's kind of like silly to me, like Santa Claus, if you think of it as a person that you could personally get to know.
So I think you if you're looking to know God as a person, like to look at it as if I'm speaking to another being, another person, I think that may be a stretch. I mean, people, if they believe that, that's fine. I mean, for me, that's not the way I view the existence of this higher power.
You have to experience it for yourself. I think it's something hard to describe unless you're actually willing to go there.
So 75% of adults who are asked, what did they want for their future? I mean, of all the adults asked, what do they want for the future? 75% said they desired a closer relationship with God. And as we saw in the video, there's various places that people land on how we can have a relationship with God, if we can have a relationship with God. Some people even called it an it. God is this it that we can't really know. And so maybe we're on the spectrum of that ideology or those ideas or those thoughts this morning. But I found it alarming that 75% of adults said that they would desire a closer relationship with God. Of all the things you can have in the future, security, money, family, success, fame, I want to be closer to God. I find it telling that there's something inside of us that desires a close and intimate relationship with God. Don't raise your hands, but how many of us in the room would think, man, I really wish that was so. I really wish I could have a close relationship with God. Maybe some of you in the room, you've said, you know, I became a believer and, hey, I want to have a close relationship with God. And you got to reading your Bible. You started praying. You started coming to church. But then you found all these roadblocks and you were like, I don't feel any closer to God. I just feel more religious. I feel like I got less because I have to cut out all the stuff that used to be fun that I used to do. And I don't feel any closer to God, though. Well, today we're going to tackle an idea. We're going to tackle a concept that I think, personally, is the most important concept in your faith that you will ever hear. Not because of what I'm saying, but because of the concept. The most important concept to your faith that you will probably ever hear, that developing a deeper intimacy with God through his word is the most transformative discipline we have available to us as followers of Christ. I'm going to say that again. Developing a deeper intimacy with God through his word is the most transformative discipline we have available to us as followers of Christ. That means all the stuff that you tried, all the small groups you've been through, all the reading and praying by yourself and trying to get close. When you develop an intimacy with God through his word, and we're talking about his word, we're talking about living by the book, through his word, you will be the most transformed in that place. And we're going to address a little bit of that this morning. Some of you are saying, well, I've read the Bible cover to cover and I don't understand what you're talking about. No compute, right? Some of the stuff in there is confusing, like we talked about last week. I don't know how to live a life that gives me the thing that you're talking about. Well, maybe you can relate to this. Y'all looking really somber today. Have you ever had someone that you wanted to enter a relationship with, and married couple, look the other way because I don't want you to get in trouble. Maybe you were in high school or maybe back in the day, and you wanted to enter this relationship with this person, but they stuck you in a friend zone. Anybody ever received that? Like you just, like you were head over heels. Aaron, don't put your hand so high next time, brother. Carol gonna get you. You were in the friend zone. You're like, man, but I love this person. I want to be close to this person. I want to go deeper in our relationship. But you just got stiff-armed. Some of y'all saying, that ain't never happened to me. Okay, but maybe you on the other side of it. You had a stalker that met you at your locker every day. Loved the way you smell. Loved the way you look. Well, the way you walked and talked and wrote letters and love poems and just wanted to be with you. And you're like, you know what, bro? I don't really see you like that. Or sister, I don't really see you in that light. We should just be friends, right? And most of the people in the room, I'm looking at the smiles on your faces. Y'all probably let the tension down nicely because you're cordial. You just didn't want to be ugly and rude and mean and you're ugly, I don't like you, you smell, whatever it was being. You didn't want to do that, so you let them down nicely, right? Like you had this cordial relationship with them. And they could never get to a deeper place of intimacy. Well, maybe it wasn't a significant other that you wanted. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a mother or father that you just wanted to get close to and you can never bridge that gap. There was something relationally that you just couldn't cross over. And so you just kind of resolved to, man, it ain't going to happen. And so you just left it alone. Or maybe some of you guys entered into a relationship with someone and after the fuzzy feelings went away, you know, the fuzzy feelings when you see them and you tingle. We all adults in the room. Come on now. You see them and they just, it just causes you like you just like, wow, when they're around, you smiling. You don't know why you're smiling. You just smiling. And then 5 years into the relationship, kids come along and stuff like that. You can't stand to look at them half the time. And then what we do is we have to go to relationship therapy or relationship help. We got to get help in the relationship because when the infatuation wore off, we didn't know how to be in a relationship with that person that we said we loved. And so we go get counseling, and the counselor teaches us how to communicate and how to be in a relationship. They even got it all over Google, all over YouTube. Look at it. Go YouTube, how to be in a relationship. You got 5 million views on this one person that's telling you how to be in a relationship with somebody. Well, that's what we're going to kind of do this morning. We're going to bridge the gap of I don't want to friend zone Jesus. I've entered in a relationship with him, and it just feels weird. And if we're honest, sometimes it just feels weird. You're talking to a Jesus that you don't see. Sometimes you don't feel. Sometimes he feels far off. There's this book that's been written, this love letter that's been written, and you try and open it up and read it, and you're hearing all these begats. What does begat have to do with me right now? What does a talking donkey have to do with me right now? And how is a snake talking? And like, have anybody ever asked that question? Why is a snake talking? And why are they talking back to him? If I see a snake, it's talking snake. No. We don't know. Baby, get away from him. You don't know what he got. But we're going to address that. And the primary way that we enter this relationship with God is through his word. The primary way that we enter this deeper relationship with God is through his word. Look at these statistics. These statistics are alarming. I don't want to get into statistics yet. Never mind. They're coming. We've been talking about the book, this book, the holy book, God's word. And so one thing we have to understand about God is God exercises this thing that in psychology they call speech act theory. Speech act theory. And what that means is basically what you say and what you project is who you truly are. And so you can't truly separate yourself from your words. Now, we being humans and sinful, we know we can do that quite easily, right? We can just say something and then we lie. But you can only lie for so long before the lie becomes the truth and you really start believing what you're saying. Well, here's the thing about God. God is perfect. God's promises are true. God can't not say something that he cannot perform and do. And so in speech act theory, we need to first understand that as God has spoken, he has to perform what he's spoken. And when he performing what he's spoken, what is revealed in the text, what is revealed in the Bible is God is revealing himself through the word because he's saying out of the abundance of who he is, and he can't lie about it. And so when we enter a relationship, what do? We talked about it last week. When you start in a relationship with somebody, what you say y'all doing? We talking. And hopefully in that relationship, if it's a lasting relationship, you are talking and you are telling truths about yourself. You're being vulnerable about yourself. You're showing your character. And the other person's showing their character. Then you fall in love. And then you find out later, though, they weren't really telling the truth because they're falling and they really didn't like the things that they said they did, but they wanted you. And so those things happen, right? And then sometimes, I was kind of acting like it didn't bother me so much, but now we're together, it really does bother me. Right? This is relationships. And so if we can deal with a relationship on a human level that way, and we understand relationship on a human level that way, we have to understand that God acts through his word. God is who his word says he is. If God shows himself to be a certain way, you can take it to the bank, baby, and cash that check all day, every day. That's who God is. And so in his word, he is revealing himself to us. He is revealing his character to us. He is showing himself to us in all these different narrative situations. And what do we say? Knowing God is here at Northeast Community Church. You ought to know this by now. Knowing God is learning to trust God. And so you can't trust God outside of the confines of knowing his word and saying, you know what? You said it. I believe it's true. And that's why the Bible is so utterly important that we talk to God, we commune with God, we fellowship with God through his word. And we're going to go a little deeper. And so I don't want to keep y'all really long this morning, and we're going to do communion. But I'm not telling you how long it is because y'all always make fun of me. You say, you didn't keep me long. You kept me 45 minutes. Well, I didn't tell you. I didn't keep you 5 hours. 4 and 5 minutes is not. Whatever. Hard statement, convicting statement. I'm convicted by this all the time. Jesus said that the words he speaks to us are spirit and life. And most of us don't understand the truth of the words that he speaks to us being spirit and life because we haven't invited his word into our lives. We stiff arm his word. We say Jesus is in the friend zone. We're not going to allow the word to come close to me. We're not going to allow the word to be intimate with me. We're not going to allow the word to convict my heart and show me where I'm wrong. We're not going to allow the word to show me how much Jesus loves me. And so what we do is we keep it on the shelf. I'm going to get to the statistics. I wasn't going to get to the statistics, but I'm going to get to the statistics now, and we'll talk about them again later. Look at this. 18% of born again believers read their Bible daily. 18% of born-again believers read their Bibles daily. Convicting. Extremely convicting. This is even worse statistic. Even more startling, 23% claim they never read their Bibles. That's almost 1 in every 4 Christians say they never read their Bibles. And we say we're in fellowship with God. We say we're in covenant with God. We say we're in relationship with God, but we never hear his voice. Well, I come to church and I hear the preaching and that's a way of hearing God. We'll get in that in a minute. But you can't truly know God secondhand. I can sit up here every week from here into Kingdom Come and tell you about my wife, but you won't know her until you actually talk to her. And so many of us, we're getting God's word secondhand, like a baby bird get food from his mama. I know it's pretty gross, but you allow the preacher to come and chew it up and you go, you come and you spit it in your mouth. Gross. That's just nasty. And so we have to learn to get into the word for ourselves. I'm sorry, Connor. And so many of us in here today, you heard that and you were like, dang it, I'm one of the four. Because I'm in a room this size, we can pull some people out. I'm one of the four. Well, maybe I don't never read my Bible, but I read my Bible every once in a while. And so we get convicted by these stats. And here's the thing I want to tell you guys this morning. It's not too late. God is not going to forsake you. He's not going to say, you spent so many years not reading your Bible that I'm through with you now. He's saying, listen, I want to convict you by that, and I want you to get involved in the game. I want you to begin to get into this and learn of me. And so we're going to go through some scriptures. We're going to move quickly today. There's a lot of scripture. How better to talk about the word than going to the word, right? The word is going to prove itself. And so if you turn with me in your Bible to Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. And so here's a little bit of background. Joshua was Moses' mentee. Like he was Moses' mentor, Joshua. He was his executive assistant, if you will. Like, you know, I'm trying to put it in the modern day vernacular. And so Joshua followed Moses around. And we know Moses was a prophet of God. Like, he led the children of Israel out of Egypt. He saw God in the burning bush. He did a miracle with his staff. He did this. And, you know, the Red Sea stood up on the walls. And we know all these great things that Moses did. However, Moses was supposed to lead God's children to the promised land. But Moses messed up and didn't do what God told him to. And so God said, okay, because you did this, you did exactly what I didn't tell you to do, you're not going to enter into the promised land. And so Moses died before he got to enter the promise. And Joshua was the person who actually was going to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. Joshua had a relationship with Moses. He didn't have necessarily a relationship with God. And so in Joshua chapter 1, God reminded, he said, listen, Moses, my servant, is dead. And so what is going to happen now is you're going to do what Moses was supposed to do, but you're going to have to do it exactly how I tell you to do it. And God pointed Joshua into a relationship with him. The relationship culminated with Joshua through the word. Watch this. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. That was the background. That was the setup. And so Joshua is told by God, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it sometimes. You should meditate on it maybe once a month or every Sunday when you come to church. No, he said, you shall meditate on it when? Day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have great success. Good success is what the ESV says. I'm sorry, I learned it in King James. I'm sorry, I didn't even ask you. I'm talking about Bibles, and Dean had to remind me. Anybody need a Bible? Raise your hand if you need a copy of the scripture. We'll bring a copy to you, and that's yours to keep. And that's why it's so important that we talk about this, because we need to know God. Okay, and so Joshua entered this relationship with God through his word. That is so key. He said, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. He told him what he shouldn't do. You shouldn't get to a place where the word is not close to your mouth. But you shall meditate on it both day and night. That word meditate actually means to murmur. Well, we call it nowadays, you think people are crazy if they're walking around murmuring all the time. He's saying, basically, the words that I've given you, you're going to just walk around just muttering them, just keeping them before you. And so the idea is the word is always before you. When you're making life decisions, guess what? The word should be before you. It shouldn't be secondary. I tried A, B, C, D. They didn't work. Ooh, let me read the Bible. But no, the word shall be before your mouth both day and night, and you shall meditate on it. Why is meditating on it so important, or murmuring on it so important? Listen, have you ever met somebody who murmured about everything, just complained about everything all day long? They're just talking about stuff, and you tell them, calm down, just stop talking about it. And they stop talking to you, and they go to somebody else, and they're still talking about it. By the time they talk to the fourth or fifth person, they fired up, and they madder than they were when they first start talking about it. That's exactly what, when we get the word of God into our lips and before us, what it does is if we continue to meditate on God's word and keep it before us and keep it before us and keep it before us, sooner or later, we're going to start believing it. And that's what God is calling us to do. He's saying, listen, I've revealed myself to you through my word. And so if you will just fellowship with me through the word, guess what? Your life will be better for it. That's what he told Joshua. He said, meditate on it both day and night. And then God says, I'm going to do something powerful. I'm going to cause, and I'm going to do. No, he didn't say that. He said, meditate on it and be careful to do what is in it. And then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. I love that. Everybody always walking around to my, God's going to do something new. Oh, God's going to do it. Oh, God's going to do it. And God says, no, if you just apply my word to your life, you'll see manifestation of it yourself. It's not rocket science. You walk around here mad all the time, turn the frown upside down, and guess what you're going to be? You're going to be happy. You're having a bad marriage. Guess what? Start working on that marriage. Start doing what the Bible says about your marriage. Wives, start submitting to your husband and deferring to your husband and loving your husband. And wife, husband, start loving your wife as Christ loved the church. And guess what will happen if we did it? Our homes will get happier. It's mind-blowing. Listen. If the world, everybody in the world were to wake up tomorrow and just do what God told them to do, this world would be an awesome place. But we're so busy trying to do our own thing. Put Jesus in the friend zone. I don't really need to hang out with you like that, Jesus, until I need something so you can be my, we said it before, Jesus can be my sugar daddy. God, I need a blessing. I need it now, Lord. And y'all lucky I ain't Jesus. Yes, yeah, they ain't they. You gonna sit up here, you ain't talked to me in 3 months. And now you want something? Oh, now you want a promotion at your job. You ain't been on time for 4 months. And now you gonna pray to me that I just move on your boss's heart and let him see how much a hard worker you are. But you ain't been a hard worker. You haven't been doing things as unto me. And guess what? If you were doing it as unto him when that promotion came, you would be able to say, thank you, God, for the blessing that you weren't even looking for. The owner or the manager would have been like, you know what? I need to promote you. And you didn't even see it coming. But now you're praying to me that you need it because you ain't been doing what you're supposed to be doing. You've been neglecting the relationship with me, and now you want something. That's me as Jesus. That's me as Jesus. And so, but we can turn this thing around. We can have a relationship with Jesus that is such a way that you and Jesus can, don't put Jesus in the friend zone. My daughter had a t-shirt that says, Jesus is my BFF, and really mean that. Jesus really is my friend. Me and Jesus do everything together. We hang out. He desires to speak to you. Listen, if you'll read this book cover to cover, you will see there's tons of narrative in this book that says God wants you to be a part of what he's doing, and he wants to be a part of your life. Cover to cover is telling you that God, who could have just said, again, if I was Jesus, I'm going to wipe them all out and create some that look just like them. Except this time, they ain't going to act a fool. That's if I was Jesus. But what he said is, no. I'm going to be on a reconnaissance mission. I'm going to come down from heaven and I'm going to die for them. Why? Because I want fellowship with them. I want communion with them. And I want them to be a part of what I'm doing in the world. I want them to be a part of restoring the world. I want them to be a part of me gaining glory so that they'll live their life in such a way that people will look at them and give me glory because of what they're doing. Then you will make your way prosperous. And then you will have good success. We can't be casual followers of Jesus. And his word, the truth of his word, is what helps us develop and cultivate a relationship with him. I'm going to say this, and then we're going to get into some points. God wants us to obsess over his word. He just does. Think about the words. You shall meditate on it both day and night. Be obsessed with it. You ever been around somebody who's excited about something, maybe a sports team or a TV show or something, and that's all they do is talk about it, and you're like, please stop talking about the soccer team. I don't care about soccer. I'll come hang out at your house, but I don't care about soccer. I'm just joking, Matthew. He doesn't obsess over it. Or music. Willie, I don't care about this new little gadget that you just got. Shush. Right? New computer. Clothes. Working out. We always got these things that, we all got them. things that we talk about all the time, and we don't realize we talk about them all the time because we love them so much. But if you take somebody who's close to us and say, please stop talking about your car. I had an auntie. She's still alive. I do have an auntie. And she had a dog. And I love all the pet owners in the house. I do. I love you guys who are pet owners. But it used to drive my mom crazy because she used to put, my mom would talk about my nephew, which is my mom's grandson, and she would put the dog on the level of my nephew. Right? And so my mom would say, well, he did this. And then my auntie would go, well, Shaq did this. That's the dog. Shaq did this. And she's like, I'm just trying to get you to say you're proud of my grandson, and you keep bringing a dog up all the time. But every time you came around, she was talking about a dog. My dog did this, my dog. And so it would drive my aunties and my uncles nuts because she was putting this dog on the level of their actual children. And so to her, I guess she figured it was a child, but it would drive them nuts. It would drive them bonkers. But she loved the dog. You came over to the house and you sat on the sofa, the dog sat on the sofa next to you, and she didn't care if you scared of dogs or not. That's that dog's sofa. You better move around. She was obsessed with it. And that's what God is asking us to be about his word. I know it sounds harsh, and listen, remembering the word, memorizing scripture, all that kind of stuff, this doesn't necessarily evaluate knowing God better, but this is the entryway, and we're going to talk about that now. So first, we got a lot of scripture. We have to learn to trust God through scripture. The number one way, or the entryway of doing that, is we have to interact with him through his word, and we have to interact with him through hearing his word. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing what? That's the entryway. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. This is the easiest discipline in interacting with God through his word. This is like the first date. It's easy going first date. We have leniency on the first day, right? Man, they picked the wrong restaurant. It's easy. And so getting to a place where we know God intimately, the first date is hearing his word. You guys are engaging in it right now. How do we hear God's word? We hear it through preaching. We show up on Sunday morning, we hear God's word. Technology has made it really easy to hear God's word. Back in the day, anybody ever have a Bible on CD? You have that big old case that you set up under your case, with the leather case, and you open it up, and you're like, where's Matthew? And you got them all out of place. And so Isaiah was where Luke's supposed to be, and you didn't care, and some got scratched up, and you say, man, I can't even read all the way through Matthew, because Matthew 15 to 38 is dead. I done killed that CD. And so you got to just jump around. And so you have to do all that kind of stuff, right? But no, they have nowadays where you can actually listen to the Bible from your phone. Talking about CDs, and parents, if you want to get your kids engaged in this activity, don't get them some of these narrated with real voices Bible CDs. Me and my wife, we just had this great idea. Man, we can subliminally get the word into them. So we can put this narrated CD in the hallway between the boys and the girls' room, right? And you hit play, and then they hear the word all night long as they sleep. And they wake up in the morning, and then before you know it, they've just been, because just sit under the word. That's what we're Christian hippie parents. I don't know. But that's what we're going to do. But we made the mistake of getting the narrated one. And so we were in the living room one night, and we saw the kids come barreling down the hallway. Ah! Some bright idea guy at the Bible store who created these CDs thought it was a great idea to to make Satan's voice actually scary. And so they wouldn't listen to the Bible. We would say, want to listen to the Bible? No, we don't want to listen to the Bible. Because Satan came in the garden and was like, did God really say? And they come out busting out down the hallway. So if you're going to do that, just give them the regular one. Don't get a narrator because you're going to scare your kids to death. They're going to never pick up the Bible again. We had counseling sessions and all kinds of stuff. But there's apps out there that you can get for free 50. Here's one. It's called the YouVersion Bible. I have a link up there on the thing. Here's the awesome thing about the YouVersion Bible. You can go in there. You can pick all these different translations, and you can hit this. Watch this dude. This dude is awesome.
Lord's charge to Joshua.
He's reading to me.
After the death of Moses.
I can put this in my aux cable and ride down the street in my car, and I can be listening to the word of God, and it's totally free. Well, you got to pay for your minutes, but hey, I can't give you totally, totally free. But he'll read the Bible for you. All different translations. He's, shut up. Not right now. He's awesome. the YouVersion Bible app. You can read, you can listen, you can watch the Bible anywhere you are. Listen, we have the Bible so readily accessible to us. It is almost, in my mind, this is just Sean talking, it's almost more sin for us not to read the Bible here in the United States. Some of you guys have more Bibles in your house than some churches in third world countries have. And you go down there and you're talking to some of them, and they got the Bible memorized. Like, they not playing. You share scripture, and they like, boom. And you're like, how, you ain't even got a Bible. They hear it, they cherish it, they put it in their heart, and guess what? It's theirs. You know, it's a joke that says, the greatest dust storm in the world would be if all the Christians simultaneously took their Bibles off the shelf and blew them off. And so we can hear and sit under the word anytime. You can be working out, listen to the word. You can be in your car, listening to the word. You can be in the living room. They got the TVs are smart now. You can podcast it to your TV and just sit there while you're doing dishes, listening to the word. And that's what God is telling Joshua. He said, you must meditate on it both day and night, and then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. If we put the proper value on God's word, we will want to do this. But we've become lazy as a generation because it's so readily available to us. It's like the children of Israel in the wilderness. God was providing for them manna from heaven. And I bet the first couple of days getting manna from heaven, like, man, we got, God is like providing. And after a little while, they're like, it's manna. God done did it. I tried to get the video of it, but they showed these missionaries bringing Bibles into China where they didn't have any copies of scripture. And they brought it in these suitcases, and the people were rushing forward like they were giving away free pairs of Air Jordans. Anybody saw the video? The quality was so low, I couldn't put it up there. And they were smelling the Bible, and they were crying, and they were shaking because they had a copy of scripture. How many times have you picked up your Bible and went, whoa, this is convicting to me? I got to be honest. I got like 35 Bibles at the house. I got the My Little Pony Bible. I got all kinds of Bibles, all kinds of commentary. You know what I mean? We don't have excuse. And the Bibles that you look at, if you look at them, they're not like no big $65 camel skin, you know, with the nice pages. They just like the stuff that you get $5, you know, just here. And they were so excited about God's word. And so I was listening to a guy. He was a missionary there, and he showed up in China, and they had to meet in these caves because it was an underground church, because they have a state-sanctioned church that this government will allow, but then they have these underground churches, which are more kind of what our church would be like here in the States. And so he said they were meeting in these caves, and he showed up early in the morning, and they say, okay, we want you to preach. And so he said, what you want to preach on? How long should I go? And they said, just go. And so he said he preached from morning to lunchtime, and he was like, I'm through. And they're like, no, we're going to have lunch, and then you're going to preach some more. And so, but their culture, maybe I didn't get me right, their culture is not to presume. And so they came up to him next day and say, could you come back tomorrow and preach a little more? And he's like, sure, I can. And how much, what do you want me to preach on? They were like, all of it. And so he talked to somebody who had been there before. He's like, man, I don't understand. They're like, desire the word. I can just preach all day long. And I'm going to tell you this example is kind of self-fulfilling. But anyway, and so he said, I can preach all day long. And he's like, yeah, because they don't have Bibles. And so they want to soak up as much information as you can give them so they can retain it and live their lives. We have no excuse. I just put a free app on the board. And listen, if you're feeling convicted by this, trust me, I felt way more convicted when I was preparing this. Because I got to be honest, I don't open the Bible and be like, whoa, God has spoken to me. I need me some of this. My family looks the other way when I do stuff like that. I say, that's why we don't invite people to church, Daddy. Entry level, reading his word. And once we get to a place of reading his word, secondly, we must memorize his word. Psalm 119:11 says this. This is David speaking. No, it might not be. No, it's not David. Never mind. It's a psalm. We don't know if it's David or not. It says, I've stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And so we move from just simply reading the word. Reading the word is like, you ever been, have you, anybody, any tea drinkers in the house? Like drinking tea, right? Of course. And so you get the hot tea, right, Matthew? And then you get the bag, right? You do the bags and you drop the bag into the tea. And so it dissipates into the cup over time, right? Reading the word is like getting the tea bag and doing like that, and you see the, you turn a little bit, and then you just take it out. That's what reading the word is like. It's just entry level, like that's that. But if you want to get the fullness of what the word is speaking to you, you want to get the fullness of the relationship, you need to steep it and let the hot water do what it's doing. And so we just go out there and we just run the hose over when we just read the word. Just who want to drink some tea just once steeped? That's just water with a twang on it, right? You want to let it sit there. And so the entryway for that is memorizing his word. Listen, there's a system in place, and I'm giving y'all all these nuggets right now. There's a system in place that's been created a long time ago. It's made by the Navigators Group. Anybody ever heard of the Navigators Group? And so they have this topical scripture memorization. I think I have a slide for it. They have this topical scripture memorization. And if you go to their website, www.navigators.org, the slide will come up in a minute, and you go to tools, you can go and you can get the memory scriptures. And you can get an article on how to effectively memorize scripture. And so the guy who started the Navigators Topical Memory Group, what he did was he would memorize a scripture a day. Because he drove a truck, he would just drive around, he'd memorize scripture. I mean, he was committing it to his heart. Can I please get the slide up? There you go. Thank you. And so this is how they do it. And it solidifies it in your mind. So it's topical, and you can create these cards, you can buy these cards, and you can do it yourself. And they probably even have an app for it nowadays. I mean, I'm sure they have an app for it. And so there's these topical things that you, like Christ is the center, is a topic that you're learning over. And so what you do is you recite it out loud. You mutter it, as Joshua was told to do. He says, Christ is the center. You quote the scripture and the verse, and then you say the scripture, and then you say it again. And all day, you just mutter it. All day, you just mutter it. So it'd be like, in this instance, Christ the center, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he is a new creation. Old have passed away, behold, the new has come. 2 Corinthians 5:17. You say that, right? Then on your break, you might be in a break, you might be in a restroom, you might be driving down the street. And so you're just muttering over this. You're muttering over this. Guess what that's doing to your heart? Guess what that's doing on the inside of you? Guess what that's saying to God? That you're taking the time out of your busy day because you are so important to hear my word. To meditate on my word, to put my word at highest priority. I mean, again, we talked about speech act theory. When we put the priority on his word, we're putting the priority on him. And we're saying, God, I'm in this with you. I love you, Lord. I love you so much that I memorize your words. Think about ladies. This might not be romantic, but I don't care. So think about ladies. If you said something early in the morning before your husband left to work and he came back late and he quoted what you said verbatim, you know, we don't listen to men, right? What did I say this morning? I don't know. You were saying something about taking out trash. I don't know. But verbatim, we told you, you know, you said it was really impactful. We had this deep conversation, and you told me this on Tuesday. You said exactly, you were like, he was really listening. Look, woo, find me a man like that, she said. But we have to remember the scripture. Example, Jesus in the wilderness. Did Jesus have a scroll in front of him when Satan was tempting him? You like, oh, hold on, Satan, I got something for you. I'm gonna sit up and tell me about my daddy. I'm getting the concordance. What we got in the back? What's the word we're looking for? Shall not eat. Eat. Ain't even got eating this Bible. What's wrong with this Bible? Is that the King James or Rick James? Memorizing the scripture because we can instantly recall it and bring it back when we need it. Memorizing scripture. So what was the name of the thing that I put on screen? Navigators, Topical Memory System. Y'all are on it, I know, right? And so once we start memorizing scripture, then we get to the place of studying it. Studying the scripture. Studying the word is so important. And this is what we're going to do next week. I have an assignment at the end of a service today. We're going to get into it next week as we close out talking about the Bible. But I want you guys to tell me what are the strongholds, what are the struggles when it comes to studying the Bible, because like I said, it was written 2,000 years ago. Like, what are some things that lock you up? And I got some people who commented last week, and I wanted to talk, you address some of them this week, but I want to give everybody a chance to get in there. So next week, it'll be more like, I'm taking what you guys have said, and we probably can't cover it all, but the top ones we'll really discuss next week. But we have to get to the place where we're studying the scripture. That's our private reading. That's just not driving down the car, listening to it, or in a sermon, or in small groups, but we're reading the word ourselves aloud and then studying it. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 to 14. That's what I'm trying to say. It says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. You can't get to this place without studying the word. The Bible says that if you're not doing these things, you're unskilled. The Bible wants us to be skilled in the Bible. How many people feel like Bible ninjas? That's what it's saying. You got to have some skills, Napoleon. You got to be skillful in the word. If not, your life is just going to be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, the Bible says. You're like a ship without an anchor, the Bible is teaching us. So we have to be skillful in the word. That word actually means that you, like for real, you got some fighting skills. As Satan's trying to knock your head off, you got to be block and parry. You got to, Roy Jones. Well, Roy Jones is past his prime. You know, what's Mayweather? Got to be not able to get hit. And the word shows us, the word warns us, the word teaches us as we walk through it. Listen, some people say experience is the greatest teacher. I agree with that to some degree. Experience is a great teacher only when it's evaluated. Evaluated experience is the greatest teacher. Evaluated experience through the word of God is the best teacher. You can't get better than that. And so when you begin to look at your life through the lens of the word of God, and as you study the word of God, guess what? You become skillful. You become a Jedi master. When it comes to the word, well, maybe not a Jedi master, but you'll be pretty cool with it. And so how do we do that? One, we have to prepare our hearts to hear the word of God. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. We have to prepare our hearts to hear the word of God. Then put it up there on the slides. I'll get it. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. There it goes. 13. I got it. Don't worry about it. And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it really is the word of God. And so there has to be this posture to accept the word of God as the word of God. And so when we enter studying the word of God, the first thing we do is we sit down and we pray and we praise God for this being the word of God. I told you, this is why I was convicted when I was doing this. Like, as a pastor, sometimes our schedules get busy. And so not that we don't love the word of God, we don't have our own devotion time, but it just becomes something that you do because that's what you do. But coming to the word with fresh eyes and saying, God, this is your word that I'm entering into. And inside of here is something that's going to cultivate my relationship with you, and I'm going to know you deeper, and you're going to show me me. God, thank you for this. The missionaries in China, thank you so much for this. You didn't have to reveal yourself to me. You're God, but you chose to. Show me you in here. Listen, Christians, this is the most important thing when it comes to knowing him, is knowing his word. The problem is not that the word of God is not interesting. The problem is we're undisciplined. The problem is I can come like a baby bird, and maybe not just here, but I can go get a podcast anytime I want to. The best preachers in the world, I can just have them I can go to a Christian bookstore, they're closing down. I can go to Amazon, and I can get any book, and I can get it on Audible, and I can just listen to the greatest teachers at any given time. So why would I go in and learn for myself? Well, the problem is, That's secondhand knowledge. And as we're studying the word, we need to get to a place where we're obeying the word. And how do we get to a place that we're obeying the word? We have to move through meditation on the word. Psalm 1:1-3. We're almost to communion, y'all. Psalm 1:1-3. This is how God spoke to Joshua in a psalm. He said, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the ways of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers." Verse 2. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord." His delight is, when's the last time you looked at God's marvelous law and said, I'm glad you said thou shalt not. That makes my heart flutter. God, when you tell me to love my enemy and my neighbor, like, that just brings me joy, God. No, we don't do that. But he says his delight is in the law of the Lord. And his law, on his law, he meditates when? On Sundays. Every Tuesday. Every once in a while when you get convicted and somebody posts on Facebook, if you love the Lord, send this to 3 people. You say, maybe I should go read my word. But you delight being in a relationship with that person, the person of God. He's not this far off God who just kind of, I don't want to be in the way. Yeah. And some people think like that. Well, God don't really care what's going on in my heart and my life. He says, no. He says, blessed is the man who delights in my law. And thinks about my law both day and night. Why do we get so excited about God's law? Because God's law reveals who he is. And so it's like God showing himself to us. Wow. Like God revealing himself to us. And we're like, wow. Like I have lenses to see God. That's why we should be delighted. No other person on the planet has this but Christians. Y'all need to understand the exclusive club that you're in. Buddha can't get you there. Allah can't get you there. And anything in between can't get you there, can't show you God for who he truly is. Now, we talked about this a few weeks ago. There's natural revelation, right? We can look at the moon and go, ooh, there must be a God. But we can't go any further. We're just in the friend zone at that point. We can't get any closer. We can't get any more intimate with him until we get in his word, begin to delight in his word, and say, God, thank you for revealing yourself to me. The problem is when we just read the word sometimes, we just read it just to get information because we like information. Oh, that's interesting. I'm going to go share that at my Bible study. Guess what I was looking at in the word today? But we didn't see Jesus in it. We didn't see the Lord in it. There was no revelation of who he is in it. And God is saying, listen, you got to get to the place where you're meditating on my word both day and night. What does that look like practically? Well, as I'm memorizing the scripture and I've read the scripture and I'm going through something, you know what? Man, I'm in this line and these people are on my last nerve, but I got a scripture for that. So let me meditate on that. God, what would you like for me to do in this situation given the information that you've given me that I'm delighting in right now, even though sometimes I got to fake it till I make it? How should this impact my life right now? That's why we're doing it both day and night, because I need to impact on it right now. I need to get the fullness of what's in this word right now. Not just react the way that I usually react and then get sad and then I repent and then I feel low and then I don't read the Bible for another month because I feel guilty that I can't approach God. Come on, that's a vicious cycle. And why am I hitting this so hard today? Listen, Christians, believers, disciples, you can never be a disciple, a good disciple, if you're not disciplined in this category right here. I'm not saying you can't be a believer. I'm not saying you can't be saved, but you'll be like the Corinthian church, what they call carnal Christians. So we have to meditate on his word. And we're going to get deeper and deeper into this the following week. Verse 3. He is like a tree that is planted on the streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaves do not wither. In all that it does, he prospers. What? We've read three verses already that talks about getting in God's word, meditate on it both day and night, and then the Bible says that when you do that, you will be successful in what you're doing. And it's not, listen, because I know some of y'all be trying to put words in my mouth. Pastor said, if I just read the word, I can get a new Cadillac, a new house. That's not what I said. But you prosper in living for the Lord. You do it in a successful way. Your relationship with him is cultivated and grown, and you get in this place where you can learn to trust God, and that's what this is all about. That's where God is trying to get us to. We have to get in his word. The last thing we do once we get in his word, we read it. We meditate on it. We memorize it. We have to obey it. We have to obey it. James 1, 22 through 25. James 1, 22 through 25. But be doers of the word and not hearers only. What happens when you're only a hearer? You deceive yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his face in a mirror. Y'all know this is one of my favorite scriptures. I quote it all the time, right? So you sitting there going, man, I'm meditating on his word. I'm in his word. Oh, my God. Ooh, that hurts. That stings. Yes, that's me. I need to change. Oh, my God. Oh, I need to call my mom and tell her I'm sorry. Oh, that I need to do. Ooh. And then what happens? You look intently, and then once he goes away, I'm going to do that later. He quickly forgets what he was just asked to do through the word. He quickly forgets what he looks like. He quickly forgets his current condition, that I'm in need of a savior, that I'm no better than that person I'm really mad at right now, that I'm no better than that person that I'm looking down on. You forget that you're saved through faith by grace. By grace through faith. That's what I meant. That you need God. You walk away and you forgive. He said, no, but when you start doing the word, it changes something inside of you. When you start acting upon the word that is in your heart and being obedient to it, guess what? Your relationship with God goes to another level. It's no good to have the secret to making $1 million sitting on your dresser or in your underwear drawer and you never activate it. You have the propensity to create wealth, but you never activate it. You never act upon it. You might even go out and brag to other people. Man, I know how to make $1 million, but you're driving a Kia Rio. You live in a house and you got all these bills stacking up. You have the ability to have the most critical relationship on the planet, and it's sitting tucked away somewhere. Let's continue. 25. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, will be what? Blessed in his doing. Listen, who's looking? And this is not like a prosperity message. I'm looking for a blessing from the Lord. No. This is what we're doing. But we're talking about being blessed in your relationship with God. Who's looking for a blessed relationship with God? Well, you can say, listen, I'm not crossed to and fro. I know who God is. He knows who I am, and we are intimate. When I wake up in the morning, there's God. When I lay my head down at night, there's God. When I'm making decisions, and talking to God the whole way, not just kind of like, I think God's in it. I don't know. Let me go to a small group and let's talk about it. And not that those things are bad, but let me converse with some other people and try and, no. You know God. You know God. God is speaking intently to your heart. God is persuading you. God is directing you. He's coaching you. He's loving on you. When there's hurt, you turn to him. When there's lack, you turn to him. That's what God wants. Listen, all these books proclaim it. Why else did Jesus come and become like us so that he can spend time with us if he didn't want relationship with us? Christians, we have that ability. And we need to learn how to develop that trust in him. And so we're going to take communion this morning with that in mind. That not only did God come and die and give his life to us and for us, but he wants to commune with us. He wants to communicate with us. He wants to spend intimate time with us. So as we take communion this morning, let's keep that in mind.